son is all-powerful by nature, the mother is all-powerful in so far that by the merciful disposition of God, she is our mediatrix of graces with Christ. Therefore, says Eadmer, frequently our petitions are heeded sooner when we address ourselves to Mary, the Queen of Mercy and Compassion, than when we go directly to Jesus, who as King of Justice is our judge. Prayer. O Queen of Heaven, Mother of Holy Love, since thou art the most amiable of creatures, the most beloved of God, and his greatest lover, be pleased to allow the most miserable sinner living in this world, who, having by thy means been delivered from hell, and without any merit on his part been so benefited by thee, and who is filled with love for thee, to love thee. I would desire, were it in my power, to let all men who know thee not know how worthy thou art of love, that all might love and honor thee. I would desire to die for the love of thee, in defense of thy virginity, of thy dignity of Mother of God, of thy Immaculate Conception, should this be necessary, to uphold these thy great privileges. Ah, my most beloved Mother, accept this my ardent desire, and never allow a servant of thine who loves thee to become the enemy of thy God, whom thou lovest so much. Alas, poor me! I was so for a time when I offended my Lord. But then, O Mary, I loved thee but little, and strove but little to be beloved by thee. But now there is nothing that I so much desire after the grace of God as to love and be loved by thee. I am not discouraged on account of my past sins, for I know that thou, O most benign and gracious Lady, dost not disdain to love even the most wretched sinners who love thee. Nay, more, that thou never allowest thyself to be surpassed by any in love. Ah, Queen, most worthy of love, I desire to love thee in heaven. There at thy feet I shall better know how worthy thou art of love, how much thou hast done to save me. And thus I shall love thee with greater love, and love thee eternally, without fear of ever ceasing to love thee. O Mary, I hope most certainly to be saved by thy means. Pray to Jesus for me. Nothing else is needed. Thou hast to save me. Thou art my hope. I will therefore always sing, O Mary, my hope. Thou hast to save me. Chapter 9. O merciful, O pious, clemency and compassion of Mary. How great are the clemency and compassion of Mary. Saint Bernard, speaking of the great compassion of Mary towards us poor sinners, says that she is the land overflowing with milk and honey promised by God. Hence, Saint Leo observes that the Blessed Virgin has so merciful a heart that she deserves not only to be called merciful, but mercy itself. Saint Bonaventure, also considering that Mary was made Mother of God on account of the miserable, and that to her is committed the charge of dispensing mercy, considering, moreover, the tender care she takes of all, and that her compassion is so great that she seems to have no other desire than that of relieving the needy, says that when he looks at her, he seems no longer to see the justice of God, but only the divine mercy of which Mary is full. O Lady, when I behold thee, I can only discern mercy, for thou wast made Mother of God for the wretched, and then thou wast instructed with their charge. Thou art all solitude for them. Thou art walled in with mercy. Thy only wish is to show it. In fine, the compassion of Mary is so great towards us that the Abbot Guerc says that her loving heart can never remain a moment without bringing forth its fruits of tenderness. And what, exclaims Saint Bernard, can ever flow from a source of compassion but compassion itself? Mary is also called an olive tree, as a fair olive tree on the plains. For as the olive oil, a symbol of mercy, alone is extracted, So from the hands of Mary, graces and mercy alone proceed. Hence the Venerable Father Louis de Pont says that Mary may properly be called the Mother of Oil, since she is the Mother of Mercy. And thus, when we go to this good Mother for the oil of her mercy, we cannot fear that she will deny it to us, as the wise virgins in the Gospel did to the foolish ones, lest perhaps there be not enough for us and for you. Oh, no, for she is indeed rich in this oil of mercy, as St. Bonaventure assures us. Mary is filled with the oil of compassion. She is called by the Church not only a prudent virgin, but most prudent, that we may understand, says Hugo of St. Victor, that she is so full of grace and compassion that she can supply all without losing any herself. Thou, O Blessed Virgin, art full of grace, and indeed so full that the whole world may draw of this overflowing oil. For if the prudent virgins provided oil in vessels with their lamps, thou, O most prudent virgin, hast borne an overflowing and inexhaustible vessel, from which the oil of mercy streaming, thou replenishest the lamps of all. But why, I ask, is this beautiful olive tree said to stand in the midst of the plains, and not rather in the midst of a garden, surrounded by a wall and hedges? The same Hugo of St. Victor tells us that it is that all may see her, that all may go to her for refuge, that all may see her easily, and as easily have recourse to her, to obtain remedies for all their ills. This beautiful explanation is confirmed by St. Antoninus, who says that all can go to and gather the fruit of an olive tree that is exposed in the midst of a plain, and thus all, both just and sinners, can have recourse to Mary to obtain her mercy. He then adds, "Oh, how many sentences of condemnation has not this most blessed Virgin revoked by her compassionate prayers in favor of sinners who have had recourse to her?" And what safer refuge, says the devout Thomas A. Kempis, can we ever find than the compassionate heart of Mary? There the poor find a home, the infirm a remedy, the afflicted relief, the doubtful counsel, and the abandoned succor. Wretched indeed should we be, had we not this Mother of Mercy always attentive and solicitous to relieve us in our wants. Where there is no woman, he mourneth that is in want, says the Holy Ghost. This woman, says St. Don Damascene, is precisely the most blessed Virgin Mary. And wherever this most holy woman is not, the sick man groans. And surely it cannot be otherwise, since all graces are dispensed at the prayer of Mary. And where this is wanting, there can be no hope of mercy, as our Lord gave St. Bridget to understand in these words, "Unless the prayers of Mary interposed, there could be no hope of mercy." But perhaps we fear that Mary does not see or does not feel for our necessities. Oh no, she sees and feels them far better than we do ourselves. There is not one amongst all the saints, says St. Antoninus, who can ever feel for us in our miseries, both corporal and spiritual, like this woman, the most blessed Virgin Mary. So much so that there where she sees misery, she cannot do otherwise than instantly fly and relieve it with her tender compassion. Richard of St. Victor repeats the same thing, and Mendoza says, "Therefore, O most blessed Virgin, thou dispensest thy mercies with a generous hand wherever thou seest necessities." Our good Mother herself protests that she will never cease to fulfill this office of mercy. "And unto the world to come I shall not cease to be, and in the holy dwelling place I have ministered before him." That is, as Cardinal Hugo explains, "I will never cease until the end of the world relieving the miseries of men and praying for sinners, that they may be delivered from eternal misery and be saved." Suetonius relates that the Emperor Titus was so desirous of rendering service to those who applied to him that, when a day passed without being able to grant a favor, He used to say with sorrow, I have lost a day, for I have spent it without benefiting anyone. It is probable that Titus spoke thus more from vanity and the desire of being esteemed than from true charity. But should such a thing happen to our Empress Mary, as to have a day pass without granting a grace, she would speak as Titus did, but from a true desire to serve us, and because she is full of charity. So much so indeed, says St. Bernardine de Bustis, that she is more anxious to grant us graces than we are to receive them. And therefore, says the same author, whenever we go to her, we always find her hands filled with mercy and liberality. Rebecca was a figure of Mary, and she, when asked by Abraham's servant for a little water to drink, replied that not only would she grant him plenty for himself, but also for his camels, saying, I will draw water for thy camels also, till they all drink. On these words, St. Bernard addresses our Blessed Lady, saying, O Mary, thou art far more liberal and compassionate than Rebecca, and therefore thou art not satisfied with distributing the treasures of thy immense mercy only to the just, of whom Abraham's servants were types, but also thou bestowest them on sinners who are signified by the camels. The liberality of Mary, says Richard of St. Lawrence, is like that of her son, who always gives more than he is asked for. He is, says St. Paul, rich unto all that call upon him. And the liberality of Mary is like his. She bestows more than is sought. Hear how a devout writer thus addresses the Blessed Virgin. O Lady, do thou pray for me, for thou wilt ask for the graces I require with greater devotion than I can dare ask for them, and thou wilt obtain far greater graces from God for me than I can presume to seek. When the Samaritans refused to receive Jesus Christ and his doctrines, St. James and St. John asked him whether they should command fire to fall from heaven and devour them. Our Lord replied, You know not of what spirit you are. As if he had said, I am of so tender and compassionate a spirit that I came from heaven to save and not to chastise sinners, and you wish to seek them lost. Fire indeed, and punishment. Speak no more of chastisements, for such a spirit is not mine. But of Mary, whose spirit is the same as that of her son, we can never doubt that she is all inclined to mercy. For, as she said to St. Bridget, she is called the Mother of Mercy, and it was by God's own mercy that she was made thus compassionate and sweet towards all. I am called the Mother of Mercy, and truly God's mercy has made me thus merciful. For this reason, Mary was seen by St. John clothed with the sun. And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. On which words St. Bernard, turning towards the Blessed Virgin, says, Thou, O Lady, hast clothed the sun, that is, the eternal Word, with human flesh, but he has clothed thee with his power and mercy. This queen, continues the same St. Bernard, is so compassionate and benign that when a sinner, whoever he may be, recommends himself to her charity, she does not question his merits, or whether he is worthy or unworthy to be attended to, but she hears and succors all. And therefore, remarks St. Edelbert, Mary is said to be fair as the moon. For as the moon enlightens and benefits the lowest creatures on earth, so does Mary enlighten and succor the most unworthy sinners. And though the moon, says another writer, receives all its lights from the sun, yet it works quicker than the sun, for what this latter does in a year, the moon does in a month. For this reason, St. Anselm says that we often more quickly obtain what we ask by calling on the name of Mary than by invoking that of Jesus. On this subject, Hugo of St. Victor remarks that though our sins may cause us to fear to approach the Almighty, because it is His infinite majesty that we have offended, we must never fear to go to Mary, for in her we shall find nothing to terrify us. True it is that she is holy, immaculate, and the queen of the world, but she is also of our flesh, and, like us, a child of Adam. In fine, says St. Bernard, all that belongs to Mary is filled with grace and mercy, for she, as a mother of mercy, has made herself all to all, and out of her most abundant charity she has made herself a debtor to the wise and the foolish, to the just and sinners, and opens to all her compassionate heart, that all may receive of the fullness of its treasures. So much so, that as the devil, according to St. Peter, goes about seeking whom he may devour, so, on the other hand, says St. Bernardine de Bustis, does Mary go about seeking whom she may save, and to whom she may give life. We should fully understand, and always bear in mind, a remark of St. Germanus, who says that the protection of Mary is greater and more powerful than anything of which we can form an idea. How is it, asks another writer, that our Lord, who is under the old dispensation, was so rigorous in his punishments, now shows such mercy to persons guilty of far greater crimes? And he answers that it is all for the love of Mary and account of her merits. Oh, how long since, exclaims St. Fulgentius, would the world have been destroyed had not Mary sustained it by her powerful intercession? But now, says Arnold of Chartres, that we have the Son as our mediator with the Eternal Father, and the Mother as a mediatress with the Son, we have full access and can go to God with entire confidence and hope for every good thing. How, he goes on to say, can the Father refuse to hear the Son, who shows him his side in wounds, the marks of his sufferings endured for sinners? And how can the Son refuse to hear his Mother, when she shows him her bosom and the breasts that gave him suck? St. Peter Chrysogolos says that a gentle maiden, having lodged a god in her womb, asks as its price peace for the world, salvation for those who are lost, and life for the dead. Oh, how many, exclaims the abbot of Celis, who deserve to be condemned by the justice of the Son, are saved by the mercy of the Mother. For she is God's treasure, and the treasurer of all graces. And thus our salvation is in her hands, and depends on her. Let us then always have recourse to this compassionate Mother, and confidently hope for salvation through her intercession. For she, according to the encouraging assurance of Bernardine de Bustis, is our salvation, our life, our hope, our counsel, our refuge, our help. Mary, says St. Antoninus, is that throne of grace to which the Apostle St. Paul, in his epistle to the Hebrews, exhorts us to fly with confidence, that we may obtain the divine mercy and all the help we need for our salvation. Let us therefore go with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in seasonable aid. To the throne of grace, that is, to Mary, says St. Antoninus, and for this reason St. Catherine of Siena called Mary the dispenser of divine mercy. Let us conclude with the beautiful and tender exclamation of St. Bonaventure on these words, O merciful, O compassionate, O sweet Virgin Mary. O Mary, thou art clement with the miserable, compassionate towards those who pray to thee, sweet towards those who love thee, clement with the penitent, compassionate to those who advance, sweet to the perfect. Thou showest thyself clement in delivering us from chastisement, compassionate in bestowing graces, and sweet in giving thyself to those who seek thee. Example. In the life of Father Anthony de Colelli, we find the following occurrence narrated. A certain unfortunate woman was having illicit relations with two young men. One of these, prompted by jealousy, stabbed the other to death. Very much frightened by what had happened, the sinful woman went to confession to Father Onophrius. She related the following. After the murder, the unfortunate man appeared to her all black, bound in chains and surrounded by flames. He held a sword in his hand, with which he attempted to kill her. Trembling with fear, she cried out, "Why do you wish to kill me? What have I done to you?" The man, filled with rage, replied, "What, you wretch, you ask me what you have done? It is your fault that I lost my God." Immediately the woman called on the Blessed Virgin to help her, and at the sound of the name of Mary, the apparition vanished. Prayer. O Mother of Mercy, since thou art so compassionate and hast so great a desire to render service to us poor creatures and to grant our requests, behold, I, the most miserable of all men, have now recourse to thy compassion, in order that thou mayest grant me what I ask. Others may ask what they please of thee, bodily health and earthly goods and advantages, but I come, O Lady, to ask thee for that which thou desirest of me, and which is most in conformity and agreeable to thy most sacred heart. Thou art so humble, obtain for me humility and love of contempt. Thou wast so patient under the sufferings of this life, obtain for me patience in trials. Thou wast all filled with the love of God, obtain for me the gift of His pure and holy love. Thou wast all love towards thy neighbor, obtain for me the charity towards all, and particularly towards those who are in any way my enemies. Thou wast entirely united to the divine will. Obtain for me entire conformity to the will of God in whatever way He may be pleased to dispose of me. Thou, in fine, art the most holy of all creatures. Mary, make me a saint. Love for me is not wanting on thy part. Thou canst do all, and thou hast the will to obtain me all. The only thing, then, that can prevent me from receiving thy graces is either neglect on my part in having recourse to thee, or little confidence in thy intercession. But these two things thou must obtain for me. These two greatest graces I ask from thee. From thee I must obtain them. From thee I hope for them with the greatest of confidence. O Mary, my mother Mary, my hope, my love, my life, my refuge, my help, and my consolation. Amen.
Chapter 10. O Sweet Virgin Mary. The sweetness of the name of Mary during life and at death. The great name of Mary, which was given to the Divine Mother, did not come to her from her parents, nor was it given to her by the mind or will of man, as is the case with all other names that are imposed in this world. But it came from heaven, and was given her by a divine ordinance. This is attested by St. Jerome, St. Epiphanius, St. Antoninus, and others. The name of Mary came from the treasury of the divinity, says St. Peter Damian. Yes, O Mary, it was from that treasury that thy high and admirable name came forth. For the most blessed Trinity, says Richard of St. Lawrence, bestowed on thee a name above every other name after that of thy Son, and ennobled it with such majesty and power that he willed that all heaven, earth, and hell, on only hearing it, should fall down and venerate it. But I will give the author's own words. The whole Trinity, O Mary, gave thee a name after that of thy Son above every other name, that in thy name every knee should bow, of things in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. But amongst the other privileges of the name of Mary, and which were given to it by God, we will now examine that of the peculiar sweetness found in it by the servants of this most holy lady during life and in death. And in this first place, speaking of the course of our life, the holy anchorite, Honorius, used to say that this name of Mary is filled with every sweetness and divine savor, so much so that the glorious St. Anthony of Padua found the same sweetness in the name of Mary that St. Bernard found in that of Jesus. "Name of Jesus," exclaimed the one. "O name of Mary," replied the other. Joy in the heart, honey in the mouth, melody into the ear of her devout clients.
It is
narrated in the life of Venerable Father Juvenal Ancilla, Bishop of Saluzzo, that in pronouncing the name of Mary, he tasted so great and sensible a sweetness that, after doing so, he licked his lips. We read also that a lady at Cologne told the Bishop Massilius that as often as she uttered the name of Mary, she experienced a taste far sweeter than honey. The bishop imitated her and experienced the same thing. We gather from the sacred canticles that on the Assumption of our Blessed Lady, the angels asked her name three times. "Who is it that goeth up by the desert as a pillar of smoke?" Again, "Who is it that cometh forth as the morning rising?" And again, "Who is it that cometh up from the desert flowing with delights?" "And why," says Richard of St. Lawrence, "do the angels so often ask the name of their queen?" He answers that it was so sweet even to the angels to hear it pronounced that they desired to hear that sweet name in reply. But here I do not intend to speak of that sensible sweetness, for it is not granted to all. I speak of that salutary sweetness of consolation, of love, of joy, of confidence, of strength, which the name of Mary ordinarily brings to those who pronounce it with devotion. The Abbot Franconi, speaking on this subject, says, "There is no other name after that of the Son, in heaven or on earth, whence pious minds derive so much grace, hope, and sweetness. After the most sacred name of Jesus, the name of Mary is so rich in every good thing that on earth and in heaven there is no other from which devout souls receive so much grace, hope, and sweetness. For," he continues, "there is something so admirable, sweet, and divine in this name of Mary, that when it meets with friendly hearts, it breathes into them an odor of delightful sweetness." And he adds, in conclusion, that the wonder of this great name is that if heard by the lovers of Mary 1,000 times, it is always heard again with renewed pleasure, for they always experience that same sweetness each time it is pronounced. Blessed Henry Suso, also speaking of this sweetness, says that when he named Mary, he felt himself so excited to confidence and inflamed with such love and joy that between the tears and joy with which he pronounced the beloved name, he desired that his heart might leave his breast, for he declared that this most sweet name was like a honeycomb dissolving in the inmost recesses of the soul. Then he would exclaim, "O most sweet name, O Mary, what must thou thyself be, since thy name alone is thus amiable and gracious?" The enamored Saint Bernard, raising his heart to his good mother, says with tenderness, "O great, O pious, O thou art worthy of all praise, O most holy Virgin Mary. Thy name is so sweet and amiable that it cannot be pronounced without inflaming those who do so with love towards thee and God. It only need occur to the thought of thy lovers to move them to love thee more and to console them. Thou canst not be named without inflaming. Thou canst not be thought of by those who love thee without filling their minds with joy. And if riches comfort the poor because they relieve them in their distress, oh, how much more does thy name, O Mary," says Richard of St. Lawrence, "comfort us than any earthly riches. It comforts us in the anguishes of this life. Thy name, O Mary, is far better than riches because it can better relieve poverty. In fine, thy name, O Mother of God, is filled with divine graces and blessings, as St. Methodius says, so much so that St. Bonaventure declares that thy name, O Mary, cannot be pronounced without bringing some grace to him who does so devoutly. The blessed Raymond Giordano says that however hardened and diffident a heart may be, the name of this most blessed Virgin has such efficacy
that if it is only pronounced, that heart will be wonderfully softened. I will, however, give his own words.
The power
of thy most holy name, O ever-blessed Virgin Mary, is such that it softens the hardness of the human heart in a wonderful manner. He then tells us that it is she who leads sinners to the hope of pardon and grace. By thee does the sinner recover the hope of forgiveness and of grace. Thy most sweet name, O Mary, according to St. Ambrose, is a precious ointment which breathes forth the odor of divine grace. The saint then prays to the Divine Mother, saying, Let this ointment of salvation enter the inmost recesses of our souls. That is, grant, O Lady, that we may often remember to name thee with love and confidence, for this practice either shows the possession of divine grace, or else is a pledge that we shall soon recover it. And truly it is so, O Mary, for the remembrance of thy name comforts the afflicted, recalls those who have erred to the way of salvation, and encourages sinners that they may not abandon themselves to despair. It is thus that Ludolf of Saxony addresses her. Father Pilbart says that as Jesus Christ by his five wounds gave a remedy for the evils of this world, so also does Mary by her most holy name, which is composed of five letters, daily bring pardon to sinners. For this reason is the holy name of Mary likened in the sacred canticles to oil. Thy name is as oil poured out. On these words, Blessed Alan says that the glory of her name is compared to oil poured out, because oil heals the sick, sends out a sweet odor, and nourishes flames. Thus also does the name of Mary heal sinners, rejoice hearts, and inflame them with divine love. Hence, Richard of St. Lawrence encourages sinners to have recourse to this great name, because it alone will suffice to cure them of all their evils, and there is no disorder, however malignant, that does not immediately yield to the power of the name of Mary. On the other hand, Thomas A. Kempis affirms that the devils fear the Queen of Heaven to such a degree that only on hearing her great name pronounced, they fly from him who does so as from a burning fire. The Blessed Virgin herself revealed to St. Bridget that there is not on earth a sinner, however devoid he may be of the love of God, from whom the devil is not obliged immediately to fly if he invokes her holy name with a determination to repent. On another occasion, she repeated the same thing to the saint, saying that all the devils venerate and fear her name to such a degree that on hearing it they immediately loosen the claws with which they hold the soul captive. Our Blessed Lady also told St. Bridget that in the same way as the rebel angels fly from sinners who invoke the name of Mary, so also do the good angels approach nearer to just souls who pronounce her name with devotion. St. Germanus declares that as breathing is a sign of life, so also is the frequent pronunciation of the name of Mary a sign either of the life of divine grace or that it will soon come, for this powerful name has in it the virtue of obtaining help and life from him who invokes it devoutly. Addressing the Blessed Virgin, he says, As breathing is a sign of life in the body, so is the frequent repetition of thy most holy name, O Virgin, by thy servants, not only a sign of life and of strength, but also it procures and conciliates both. In fine, this admirable name of our Sovereign Lady, says Richard of St. Lawrence, is like a fortified tower, in which, if a sinner takes refuge, he will be delivered from death, for it defends and saves even the most abandoned. But it is a tower of strength, which not only delivers sinners from chastisement, but also defends the just from the assaults of hell. Thus the same Richard says that after the name of Jesus, there is no other in which men find so powerful assistance and salvation as in the great name of Mary. He says, There is not so powerful help in any name, nor is there any other name given to men after that of Jesus, from which so much salvation is poured forth upon men as from the name of Mary. Moreover, it is well known and is daily experienced by the clients of Mary that her powerful name gives the particular strength necessary to overcome temptations against purity. The same author, in his commentary on the words of St. Luke, "And the Virgin's name was Mary," remarks that these two words, Mary and Virgin, are joined together by the evangelist to denote that the name of this most pure Virgin should always be coupled with the virtue of chastity. Hence, St. Peter Catholicus says that the name of Mary is an indication of chastity, meaning that when we doubt as to whether we have consented to thoughts against this virtue, if we remember having invoked the name of Mary, we have a certain proof that we have not sinned. Let us therefore always take advantage of the beautiful advice given us by St. Bernard in these words: "In dangers, in perplexities, in doubtful cases, think of Mary, call on Mary, let her not leave thy lips, let her not depart from thy heart." In every danger of forfeiting divine grace, we should think of Mary and invoke her name together with that of Jesus, for these two names always go together. Oh, then, never let us permit these two most sweet names to leave our hearts or be off our lips, for they will give us strength not only not to yield, but to conquer all our temptations. Consoling indeed are the promises of help made by Jesus Christ to those who have devotion to the name of Mary. For one day, in the hearing of St. Bridget, he promised his most holy mother that he would grant three special graces to those who invoke that holy name with confidence. First, that he would grant them perfect sorrow for their sins. Secondly, that their crimes should be atoned for. And thirdly, that he would give them strength to attain perfection, and at length the glory of paradise. And then our divine Savior added, For thy words, O my mother, are so sweet and agreeable to me, that I cannot deny what thou askest. Saint Ephrem goes so far as to say that the name of Mary is the key of the gates of heaven, in the hands of those who devoutly invoke it. And thus it is not without reason that St. Bonaventure says that Mary is the salvation of all who call upon her, for he addresses her, saying, "O salvation of all who invoke thee," meaning that to obtain eternal salvation and invoke her name are synonymous. And Richard of St. Lawrence affirms that the devout invocation of this sweet and holy name leads to the acquisition of superabundant graces in this life, and a very high degree of glory in the next. "If then, O brethren," concludes Thomas A. Kempis, "you desire consolation in every labor, have recourse to Mary. Invoke the name of Mary. Honor Mary. Recommend yourselves to Mary. Rejoice with Mary. Weep with Mary. Pray with Mary. Walk with Mary. Seek Jesus with Mary. In fine, desire to live and die with Jesus and Mary. By acting thus, you will always advance in the ways of God, for Mary will most willingly pray for you, and the Son will most certainly grant all that his mother asks." Thus we see that the most holy name of Mary is sweet indeed to her clients during life, on account of the very great graces that she obtains for them. But sweeter still will it be to them in death, on account of the tranquil and holy end that it will ensure for them. Father Sertorius Caputo of the Society of Jesus exhorted all who assist the dying frequently to pronounce the name of Mary, for this name of life and hope, when repeated at the hour of death, suffices to put the devils to flight and to comfort such persons in their sufferings. "The invocation of the sacred names of Jesus and Mary," says Thomas A. Kempis, "is a short prayer which is as sweet to the mind and as powerful to protect those who use it against the enemies of their salvation as it is easy to remember. Blessed is the man who loves thy name, O Mary," exclaims St. Bonaventure. "Yes, truly blessed is he who loves thy sweet name, O Mother of God. For," he continues, "thy name is so glorious and admirable
that no one who remembers it has any fears at the hour of death. Such is its power that none of those who invoke it at the hour of death fear the assaults of their enemies. Oh, that we may end our lives as did the Capuchin Father, Salgentius of Ascoli, who expired singing, O Mary, the most beautiful of creatures, let us depart together. Or, according to the annals of the order, like Blessed Henry the Cistercian, who expired in the very moment that he was pronouncing the most sweet name of Mary. Let us then, O devout reader, beg God to grant us that at death the name of Mary may be the last word on our lips. This was the prayer of Saint Germanus. May the last moment of my tongue be to pronounce the name of the Mother of God. O sweet, O safe is that death which is accompanied and protected by so saving a name. For God only grants the grace of invoking it to those whom he is about to save. O my sweet lady and mother, I love thee much, and because I love thee, I also love thy holy name. I propose and hope, with thy assistance, always to invoke it during life and at death, and to conclude with the tender prayer of Saint Bonaventure. I ask thee, O Mary, for the glory of thy name, to come and meet my soul when it is departing from this world, and to take it in thine arms. Disdain not, O Mary, the saint continues, to come then and comfort me with thy presence. Be thyself my soul's ladder and the way to heaven. Do thou thyself obtain for it the grace of forgiveness and eternal repose. He then concludes saying, O Mary, our advocate, it is for thee to defend thy clients and to undertake their cause before the tribunal of Jesus Christ. We will continue on the next side of the tape.